How do you feel when you hear this gospel story? The one where hard-working laborers work all day and lowlifes show up to work an hour and they all get paid the same, a silver coin. Kind of a dirty deal for the guys who work through the heat of the day. What on earth was Jesus telling us in this story? Was he talking about the place we all might occupy in heaven, where the first should be last, and the last should be first? Was he telling his listeners to be grateful with what you have? Stop complaining and be glad that you can spend yourself in working for someone else. As usual with Jesus, he doesn't tell us what's on his mind. He just lets it fly and leaves it to us to find meaning in his parable. So we set out to see what we can make of this story. I am indebted to the late Robert Funk, founder of the Jesus Seminar and author of Honest to Jesus. Dr. Funk points out that Jesus really did identify with the lost, the lonely, the rejects in our society, the outcasts, the prostitutes, the prisoners, the mentally ill, the ones no one wanted. The Pharisees were Jesus' prime example of pious insiders who in reality were, in Jesus' mind, outsiders. Tax collectors were hated, but he ate with them. The parable of the dinner party was another example of an outside group invited to the banquet. Our parable today has two groups, the early workers and the late arrivals. Somehow, they all come out equal. The ultimate outsider was the Good Samaritan, who was rejected all around in Jesus' day. The Good Samaritan becomes the hero of the story. Samaritans were the bottom of the social ladder. They occupied a place with alcoholics, drug addicts, and all sorts of other people considered low life. The gospel lesson opens with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." Other translations have it, "God's kingdom is like an estate manager," or "for heaven's imperial rule is like a proprietor." In each instance, Jesus is presenting an eternal truth in human form. He takes a normal situation of hiring people to do a job, and then he gives it his own unique twist. Did he really mean to include all those people in his kingdom? Lazy bums, prisoners, adulterers, crooks, con men, drug addicts, thieves, and prostitutes, we are all welcome into this group. Each of us with our own secrets and our own shortcomings. Jesus welcomes us into his kingdom, whether we come early or late. We are welcome. I wrote this sermon shortly after Robin Williams committed suicide. The world was shocked that someone so comedic could be so depressed. My vivid recollection of the Peter Weir film, Dead Poets Society, brought back my own youth in prep schools, for I would have been one of the boys who stood on his desk and proclaimed loudly, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." And yet depression haunted Robin Williams, just as it haunts depressed people today. In the Old Testament lesson, which is the alternative lesson that might have been read today but wasn't, so my references are a little bit of out of whack, sorry. It's Jonah's obsession with the bush that covered him. Jonah was angry with God for not punishing the people of Nineveh to the point that he wanted to die. Jonah went off by himself to feel sorry for his state of being. The kind of isolation that a depressed person often manifests. Jonah deals with his anger up front and out in the open. Mild depression often manifests itself in angry rages. And when turned inward, we can do ourselves much harm. A seriously depressed person struggles constantly with death as an alternative. Robin Williams, it turned out, had Parkinson's disease. He may well have known that this is a gradually debilitating disease that could possibly lead to his death someday. I remember well some patients who came to the hospital, received a diagnosis of cancer, walked to their car and shot themselves to death. That was in the days when cancer was a death sentence. Not anymore. Many of you are survivors, and I'm one too. 24 years for me. Jonah, Robin Williams, the landlord, Jesus, ourselves. Let's tie it all together and talk about the common thread. Anger. Anger is the common thread. Anger takes control of each situation, and the consequent behavior is the result of hostility. Anger is a universal feeling that each knows only too well within us. The question becomes, how do we deal with it? Some suicide is rage turned inward. Sometimes it's pain versus relief, and the pain is too great. Jonah was angry with God and went out to sit under a bush. We often feel sorry for ourselves and go out in the woods to be alone. Maybe they'll miss me. The landlord got angry with the men who worked all day and who complained about their wages. He told them he had a right to do with his money the way he wanted to. Jesus' hostility came out against the Pharisees and other super righteous people. You and I can become very hostile at super righteous people who claim a special place in the kingdom. Just notice how we avoid Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons when they are on our block. You can't even talk to them rationally without getting into an argument. I'll never forget a priest I knew in Houston, Texas, who used to deal with con artists and beggars with the statement, "I'll give you a dollar for your story, but I don't believe a word of what you tell me. If your story is good and original, you get a dollar from me. Otherwise, no." His goal was to get out of the seat of judge and jury. If you believe the story of the strangers, you become vulnerable to judging wrong and therefore possibly leading to hostility. And yet, aren't these those the ones Jesus speaks about? Didn't I just undo all the wisdom with which I spoke earlier? Are we not left to our own interpretation of the parables, each free to dwell upon the wisdom of Jesus, and each who is without sin may cast the first stone? Am I to judge the super righteous as the modern day Pharisee? And who are the Pharisees in your life? Who are the ones you run from and don't want to talk with? Are we not trapped in our own prejudice? And to ask the proverbial question, what would Jesus do if he were in my shoes? And what should I do as a follower of him? In the enigmatic mystery of Jesus' teachings, may we live with the paradox of faith and doubt, sin and sickness, war and peace, virtue and narcissism, self-acceptance and personal depression, conflict and love. Let us pray. Lord, in our efforts to know the truth, be with us as we travel the labyrinthian path toward wisdom. Our hearts are full of goodness and virtue. Our tongues betray us. Our ears hear the discordant hostilities of the human interactions. Our eyes see the atrocities of war and hate. Our world is in chaos, and we've lost the way. Comfort us with the assurance of your love, and in the midst of anger and hate, may we stand for virtues very nearly lost in our world. May we stand tall in personal integrity, mindful that at times we stand alone. Sustain us in our moments of doubt. Hold us up in those instances when anger enters our hearts. Be our ready companion in the path of life, now and forever. Amen.